Well, tonight we come to our special fellowship. The special fellowship is always the message, the meeting that we have after the day on the hike. Did everyone have a good time on the hike today? Yeah? Yes? Amen. I tell you, my heart was aching when I saw those buses leaving. I wanted to be right up there with you guys. I loved going on the hikes. Oh, those are great. I remember all the hikes I went on, speaking with all the young people, talking, getting exhausted. I remember thinking, oh my goodness, only 1 hour down. How am I going to do all these hours? But anyway, praise the Lord, after the hike comes the special fellowship. So we pray this fellowship would be really special. And the subject of this is called the believer's influence on the world. The believer's influence on the world. Amen. The Lord wants all of his believers to have an influence, to influence this world. We have to understand why he created this world. He created the earth. He created all the animals. He created man. And then his terrible enemy came in and ruined it all. Can you? I just sense how sad God's heart was. He created man in the Garden of Eden. Then, oh, man had God's image, had his likeness. And then he put him in the garden with the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he was hoping, yes, maybe they'll choose the tree of life. Then they're not only going to look like me outwardly, but they're going to have me inside. Oh, and then came his enemy. If we ignore that God has an enemy in this universe, we're foolish. There is a war going on. There is a war. And so at the very beginning, that serpent, he came in and he started distracting Adam and Eve. I mean, it says the tree of life was in the center of the garden. I believe that's why it was called the Garden of Eden, pleasure garden, because in the center was the tree of life. But there was another tree. And that serpent, he distracted them, brought them up to this other tree. Questions, knowledge, good, evil. And then he got what he wanted. They ate of that tree. I believe that was one of the saddest days in God's life. Oh, what a... But anyway... And then after that, all of creation was brought into corruption, into slavery. The animals started eating each other. You know, I live right by the sea. Out from my window, I can see the Mediterranean Sea. It looks beautiful. But I have a feeling underneath those waters, it is a scary place for everyone. Everyone. All the creatures, they're all living in fear. They're all devouring one another. You go to the forest, it's beautiful. I don't think that's the way all the animals feel. I believe they're living in fear every day. You go underneath the earth, the worms, they're all, this universe has been corrupted. It has been destroyed. Adam and Eve, then they had their first baby, and he was a murderer, Cain. He killed his brother. What is this? What we're living in, I mean, because it was created by God, it's like you can easily oversee all the violence for everything and everyone. But this world is in a terrible condition. And this is why God needs his believers to influence the world. Influence the world. And we've been unpacking this. We've been seeing this in the life of Joseph. He influenced those around him. In at least six places. I was just preparing these. So the first place he lived was in Hebron. He was there with his father and his brothers. He had the dreams. He was such a bright light in that terrible family situation. And then his father sends him to go up. It's a place in Samaria called Dothan. And then he's up there ministering to his brothers there in a simple way, in a pure way. And they hate him. But he was influencing that whole family situation. Yeah. Amen. The Lord wants the same thing from all of us. We all have relatives. And they're not all in the church life. I don't think anyone has everyone's relatives are in the church life. But even if they are all in the church life, still that we're all being attacked by the enemy. So the Lord needs us all to influence everyone around us. Then the third place is in Egypt. This is like the third chapter of his life. Chapter 1, Hebron. Chapter 2, Dothan. Chapter 3, Egypt in Potiphar's house. And look at some of these verses here. And Joseph's master, Potiphar, saw that Jehovah was with him, with Joseph. And Jehovah caused all that Joseph did to prosper in his hand. So at some point in time, it's not recorded in the Bible, some point in time, Joseph made it known that he believes in God, in Jehovah. The Egyptians did not have God. They probably had never even heard of the word Jehovah. Somehow, out of Potiphar's mouth, look at this, it says, Potiphar saw that Jehovah was with him. So Joseph is there in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar sees. He not only heard something from Joseph, he saw Jehovah with Joseph. Amen. Hallelujah. Young people, you're so blessed. It's wonderful you could be here at this conference. You're being loaded with Jehovah, and you're going back to wherever you're going back. We're all going back to Egypt. But Jehovah is with you. You've got more Jehovah now than you did yesterday, and more Jehovah than before you came here. And then the fourth chapter of his life, now he's in prison. He's in prison, and he's influencing the chief jailer. Look at this, it says, Joseph found favor in the sight of the chief jailer, and the chief jailer put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners. So the prison became a wonderful place. Joseph not only influenced the chief prisoner, but all the prisoners. I wish Paul wished he was in that prison. Well, actually, Paul, he influenced, look at all those people that got saved there. Onesimus, and wow, Paul was the same as Joseph. Even Brother Ni, he spent the last 20 years of his life in China, in prison. And later, when the word came out, the ones came back and they testified and they got saved through him. Anyway, so praise the Lord. Then Joseph's still in prison, and then in come to the prison a cupbearer and the chief of the bakers, the top baker. Here it says, Pharaoh put them in custody at the house of the captain of the guard in the prison in the place where Joseph was confined. That was wonderful. They were sent to the prison where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard put Joseph in charge of them. And I like this. And Joseph, it says he, but it's referring to Joseph. And he ministered to them. He ministered to them. This is a big way that we influence people. You know, it's really hard to preach the gospel to someone if they don't like you. I think about this all the time. How can I preach the gospel? People, I mean, it's not like I need everyone to be my friend, but if the guy at the gas station or if my coworker or if my classmate, if he doesn't like me, if I'm not a pleasant person to him, if I haven't found favor in his sight, if I'm not ministering to him, then I have no way to share with him Jehovah, and he's not going to see Jehovah with me. Okay, so, amen. If we are Jesusly human, we will find favor in the sight of God and man. And this is the verse about the Lord Jesus in Luke 2:52. And Jesus advanced in wisdom. He's 12 years old when this was written. Can all the 12-year-olds raise your hand? If you're 12 years old, raise your hand. All right, look at that. Amen. Little Jesus. My prayer for you, my brother, Micha. Yes, Micha. My prayer for you, my brother, Micha, is that it'll be written about you one day. And Micha advanced in wisdom and stature and in the grace manifested in him before God and men. May that be the same about you. May it be the same about all of you. Okay, and then eventually, now we come to chapter 5 of Joseph's life, and he meets Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the kingdom. As soon as he met Pharaoh, you just read his words. The word God starts coming out of Joseph's lips, but not in a preaching way, but in a very conversational way. Look at this. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've had a dream, and there's no one who can interpret it. And I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I love this. Joseph, he never let anything get to his head. This is a big thing to learn in our life. People like you, but you don't let it come to your head. You just don't let it come get to your head. And then Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It's not of me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." This was probably the first time Pharaoh ever heard the word God. You know, I researched it once. I can't remember it, but the meaning of the name Potiphar is God of the sun or something like that. It's one of the Egyptian gods. So they had their own gods. And here, in Hebrew, Joseph says, Elohim yeten lacha tshuva. Elohim, he spoke to him a different word. We just see God, but he was speaking to him, Elohim. So, wow, Elohim, wow. He just got introduced to God. Amen. And then look at this. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dream is one dream. God has told him what he's going to do. Joseph also says, God, now therefore let Pharaoh look out for a discerning and wise man. Let him set him over the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a man like this in whom the spirit of God is? Pharaoh said it. He said, I wish I could say it to you in Hebrew. Bo yesh ruach Elohim. He said it. In whom the spirit, ruach, of God, Elohim is. Wow, Joseph had quite an influence on the people around him. Amen. Hallelujah. Pharaoh said that. Amen. Wow. And then he said, since God, and then he says it again. This is Pharaoh speaking. Since Elohim let you know all this, he's a believer. He has no question in his mind about the existence of Elohim. He's speaking. Since God let you know all this, there is no one and discerning as and wise as you. Amen. When I grow up, I want to be a man of God. I want to be like Joseph. Amen. All right. We still have two more cases. Then later on, Joseph, he meets his brothers in Egypt. Now many years have gone by. They've come down to Egypt. Now this is the case of when they're in Joseph's house. They've been called back because the money was returned to them. I hope you guys have all read the stories. The money's returned to them for the grain and their sacks. They come back, they're scared to death, and Joseph's asking them questions about their family, and he says, bring your little brother Benjamin back. And then he says to them, do this and live, for I fear God. Isn't that great? He's not preaching. He's not saying, believe. He just says, for I fear God. I love that. I don't know what it is, but that purity, that innocence, that honesty, that simplicity about our brother Joseph. Bring your youngest brother to me that your words may be verified. You will not die. And they did so. Then they're on their way back. And look, his brothers now, he's influenced them. Judah said, what can we say to my Lord? What can we speak? How can we justify ourselves? They're talking amongst themselves. God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Wow, they're back in fellowship with God, his brothers. Everyone is being influenced. Yet Joseph never said, listen, my brothers, you need to repent. He never preached at them. Preaching doesn't work. I hope you can see the difference. It's just reality, simplicity, conversation, finding favor in the eyes of men. It's a package deal. Amen. Then here's the final one. Joseph in his house in Egypt. He's probably had a nice house. He has a household steward. That's like a servant, you know, like the guy that took care of his house. When those sacks come back with the grain to Joseph's house, and Joseph's brothers bring them to Joseph's steward, then Joseph's steward says, "Be at peace. Do not fear your God." Hallelujah! Another Egyptian is using the word Elohim. Your God and the God of your father. That means Joseph also told him, "My father Jacob believes in God." Oh, wow. That would have been a nice job to have been Joseph's steward. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. Wow, Joseph was such a shepherd. Now his steward is also such a shepherd. He's cherishing them. He's like Joseph's coworker. They're like sold. Your silver came to me. Then he brought Simeon out to them. Right? They've come back with Benjamin and he returned Simeon to them. This is what the Lord wants to fill the whole earth with. Little God men growing up to be kings. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. All right, now we come to the New Testament. Now we come to some of the Lord's words to us. All right, let's open up to Matthew chapter 5. And I like the way, I think it was Paul. He had some of the young people come up and read verses. Can any of you read English okay? Yeah? Can you come here? All right, come on up here. All right, let's read this verse. Now, this is Jesus speaking to all of us, his believers. He says to them, yeah, verse 13.
You are the salt of the earth.
Amen. Jesus said to disciples, who?
You are the salt of the earth.
Amen. You are the salt of the earth. Amen. Okay, now, back then, whenever you'd kill an animal, what do? You just killed a deer. That's enough meat for a couple months. Okay. Yep. Well, wouldn't it be better just to put it in the freezer? Did they have freezers back then? They didn't have freezers. They can't do what we can do today. So they had to skin it, and then they had to season it with salt. That's like the ancient freezer. Am I right, brothers? That was their ancient freezing. They salt it, and now it would be preserved. It won't go rotten. So here the Lord is saying to us, you are the salt of the earth. Remember, the earth is rotten. It's just getting more and more rotten. So the Lord needs us to be the salt to stop this earth from becoming totally corrupted. So glad we should all be glad that we were born now and not 2,050 years ago before Christ came and loosed all the salt. That was, you know, no one records all the really terrible things, but the earth was not a nice place to live. It's much better. There's much more salt on the earth right now. But then the next thing he says is, but if the salt has become tasteless, with what shall it, the earth, be salted? It, the salt, is no longer good for anything except to be cast out and trampled underfoot by men. So now we're at Roman numeral 1. We are the salt of the earth. Amen. We are the salt of the earth. You guys are probably hearing, some of you are hearing this for the first time. Who are you? You're not only kings, but you're also salt. Amen. We are the salt of the earth. So we've received his salty divine nature. Salt by nature is an element that kills and eliminates the germs of corruption. I think that makes God feel really happy. I think that causes his mood to, wow, it's not so bad. To the corrupted earth, the people of the kingdom of the heavens are such an element, keeping the earth from being fully corrupted. Fully corrupted. And then the verse here, Colossians 4:6, says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. This is what we see with Joseph, right? We read all those wonderful verses. His speaking was always with grace. Does anyone that learned 2 days ago what grace is remember what grace is? Just give me one word. It starts with the letter E. You have to be between the ages of 12 and 15 to answer. What is grace? The second letter is N, E-N. Yes, and you're only 12 years old. It's God is our enjoyment. Right? God's like a big cake. He's delicious, but when somebody eats him, then he's enjoyed. That is grace. So Paul's saying, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, seasoned with salt, seasoned with salt. Right? Joseph was not preaching, but just as he's speaking, answering questions, he's seasoning with salt. Now, point B says, for the kingdom people to become tasteless means that they lose their salting function. I don't know, like maybe if you add water to the salt, then it's no longer salty. It's still there, but it's no longer salty. This means that we become the same as the earthly people and are indistinguishable from the unbelievers. Actually, the real way that we become tasteless and bland is through our contact with the world. We become indistinguishable from the unbelievers. All right, you see the verse here, Luke 17:32? I'm going to read this footnote here. First of all, the verse says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Does anyone remember what happened to Lot's wife? What was her final form? What kind of salt? Or salt in what form? A pillar of salt. A pillar of salt. All right, now we're going to read this footnote. Lot's wife became a pillar of salt because she took a lingering look backward at Sodom, indicating that she loved and treasured the evil world that God was going to judge and utterly destroy. She was rescued from Sodom, remember? Fire and brimstone start coming down on that city, burning it. And she gets rescued from it. But she did not reach the safe place that Lot reached. That's the mountains of Moab. Anyway, he went up to those mountains. It's on the eastern side of the Dead Sea. She did not perish back in Sodom. Neither was she fully saved. Like the salt that became tasteless, she was left in a place of shame. This is a solemn warning to the world-loving believers. Okay, so, amen. All righty. All right, now let's come to, and you know, the worst thing, you know, there are always two ways to look at it. One is we become tasteless, then we'll be disciplined by the Lord. But the bigger picture is really here in point two. If we become tasteless, we can have no influence on others. We always need to view things from God's point of view. God's point of view. What does he need? He needs salt. Amen. on this earth. Amen. Amen. All right, now point C. Our daily living and testimony should be like the salt of the earth. All right, we saw that in Joseph. In school, our presence will kill some of the elements of corruption. All righty. So, let's see. All righty. My dear brother here, what's the name of your school? Porto Muzani. Porto Muzani? Muzani. That is a blessed school. Do you know what? You want to know why? Because there's some salt there. Are you the only one in the church life there? Wow, at least the Lord has one grain of salt there. Oh, seriously, wow. All the schools that have you guys there, oh, those places would be much worse without you. And the same for your neighborhoods and so forth. All right, now the Lord goes on to verse 14 in Matthew chapter 5. And here he's, remember, like last night we got a big revelation. You are kings. Today we're getting some more revelations from the Lord. You are salt. And here he says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. It is impossible for a city situated upon a mountain to be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and place it under the bushel, but on the lampstand. And it shines to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works. There it is, finding grace and favor in the eyes of men. And glorify your Father who is in the heavens. Amen. All right, so Roman numeral 2, we are the light of the world. Light, point A, light is the shining of a lamp to enlighten those in darkness. To the darkened world, the people of the kingdom of the heavens are such a light, effacing the world's darkness. Young people, just keep enjoying the Lord. Keep, the more you enjoy the Lord, the more you'll shine, and you'll see, believe me, people will come to you. You don't have to labor so much. You're just a light, shining, shining. The Lord's chosen ones will come to you. Amen. All right. This effaces the world's darkness. In nature, they are the healing salt. And in behavior, they are the shining light. In behavior, our behavior is shining light. Shining light. When I was 14 years old, my behavior was not that good. So there's hope for all of us. Amen. All righty. Now, point C. The believers are like luminaries that reflect the light of the sun. As luminaries, the believers shine in the world. All right, now we're going to read some verses, or a verse, Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. It's a great verse. I'm so glad we can get these verses into you guys. You know, the more the word gets into you, the more the Lord will be able to speak with you. Have any of you already had an experience like you're just there and all of a sudden you remember a verse? Has anyone had that experience? Can you raise your hand? That's the Lord speaking to you. Right now we're teaching you, I don't want to say a foreign language, we're teaching you the real language. We're teaching you the divine language. The more you learn this language, the more God can speak to you. The more these verses get into you, the more he'll start talking to you. Don't you want to have God, have conversations with God? This is the way he speaks to us. Now, okay, here it comes. This is your next divine language learning lesson. Philippians 2:15. That you, how about you guys repeat it after me? To learn a foreign language, you got to repeat it. That you may be blameless and guileless, children of God, dieci boje. Amen. Hijos de Dios. Okay, I want to make sure everyone's with me here. Amen. Okay. Children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation. That's them. But we're children of God. Among whom we shine. Oh, we shine as luminaries in the world. Amen. Luminaries, those are planets like the moon. Shining, the sun is shining on them, and they're reflecting. Okay, and you know, there's even another verse is 2 Corinthians 3:18, which says, but we all, let's repeat it again, let's get it into you. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding. Can a 12-year-old tell me what to behold means? What is, or a 13-year-old, what does it mean to behold? Okay, he wants to know. Who knows? Okay, we have to know what the word means, otherwise it's not going to mean much to you. Does a 14-year-old or 15-year-old know what it means to behold? To behold something? Are you 15? 14? Close. Yeah, it is an experience, yes. To fully understand, that's very close. Anyone else? What does it mean to behold? It's very easy in Russian. Взирать. На английском это не так просто. It's not so easy in English. All right.
What? Look at with venerance.
It's very good. To look at. It's actually a simple word. To look at. All right, yeah, go ahead.
To gain.
to gain. Here, let's switch N-E with I-Z. Is that the way you spell it? No, Z-E. Thank you. To gaze, right? Beholding. All right, let's do it. Now let's continue on with the verse. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding, and reflecting, like a mirror. Who am I? I'm a mirror. Beholding and reflecting the glory of the Lord. Everyone, you're all so beautiful right now. It's because you're beholding and reflecting the glory of the Lord. We're luminaries. And Paul also says that we're mirrors. Praise the Lord. This is how we can shine. That the Lord as light shines on us and we reflect him. And in the midst of this crooked and perverted generation. Okay, now we come to point D. The believers do not possess any light in themselves, but have a heavenly ability to reflect the light of Christ. Amen. Isn't that great? I just found out. We all found out about a certain ability we have. Yeah. Every single one of us has the ability to reflect. Where am I? Sorry. D, thank you. To reflect the light of Christ. Amen. Reflect. We all have this ability. To reflect the light of Christ. So the veil just has to be removed, and then we behold, which means we gaze at the Lord. All right, point E. Our daily living and testimony should be like the light of the world. We are a shining people in a dark age. A shining people in a dark age. Point one, our living and behavior should be like a light shining in the darkness. Amen. You know, I'll tell you something here. I've had this experience many times. Like when I first moved to Israel, there are only a couple churches there. I used to go to Jerusalem often, but I never really enjoyed going there. It just seemed like a dark city. But as soon as the saints moved there, like your family, as soon as the saints moved there, and then new ones began to be added. And my experience was also in Tiberias. I mean, it's a great city right there, a nice view of the Sea of Galilee, but just kind of just meaningless. It's just the city is just meaningless. As soon as the saints are there, wow, this is a great city. It's a bright city. Amen. There are so many cities here. I just don't know the names of them all. So many cities in the UK, in Germany, in Spain. Oh, I wish we could like put all the cities where new churches have been raised up over the past year to all the different countries. Can we hear at least five names? Hamburg, new church. Oh, it's a bright city now. Another city? Which one? Oh, Hanover, Germany. Yes. Oh, it's bright now. There's light there. Third one? Yes. Amsterdam. Oh, and the light shines in the darkness. Amsterdam is full of light because there are saints shining there as the light of life. Okay, city number four. Zurich. Wow, there are saints in Zurich. Oh, wow, praise the Lord. City number five?
Berlin.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right, well, are you starting to see what the Lord wants? He wants the whole earth. Just shining. Lampstands. Amen. You guys are all talking about the dreams now. I know I can hear your words. You're just dreaming that there would be light in every city of the earth. Okay. All right. Let me just read points 1, 2, and 3 under E. Our living and behavior should be like a light shining in the darkness. Whenever we just realize this, we're ambassadors, we're sons of the King. We were born into the right family. And so whatever city we're living in, we need to have our living and our behavior. Even when we're at the grocery store, when we're at school, wherever we are, so the light can shine in our city. Amen. Blameless and guileless describe our outward behavior, blameless, as well as our inward character, guileless. Guileless means pure. Pure. We were once not only dark, but darkness itself once. That was after our great-great-great-grandparents ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and got that poison into them. We also were born in sin. But now we are not only the children of light, but light itself. Ephesians 5:8 says, you were once darkness, but you are now light in the Lord. You're shining, my little brother. You are light in the Lord. Amen. All right, now we come to point three. We are seeds of the gospel. This is also what the Lord said. You know, in Matthew chapter 13, we're all very familiar where it says the sower went out to sow. And then it speaks about, you know, and he's sowing all these seeds everywhere. And the seeds are containers of life, which contain the word of life, the Lord himself, the word of the kingdom. But it's very, and then the world, the field is the world. But we don't pay attention that often to verse 38 when the Lord starts to explain that parable. In verse 38, I want to read this verse to you. Matthew 13, 38. And I think this is a good one for you guys to repeat after me also. Here, this is what the Lord says. So that seed that he sows is not only himself as the word of the kingdom, but look, he says, and the field is the world, and the good seed. All right, repeat this after me. And the good seed.
And the good seed.
These are the sons of the kingdom.
These are the sons of the kingdom.
So he not only sowed himself into our heart, but now he's sown you into the UK. He didn't want you to be sown in the US. That's why he sowed you into the UK. And where did he sow you? Well, that's where the Lord wants you. He sowed you in the UK. In which city? In London. You are a seed of life, a son of the kingdom, sown into London. And the same is true with all of us. Amen. Okay. All right. Now we come to, let's read these points under C. A seed is a small container of life and able to reproduce itself. You know, if we have like this table right here, it's made of wood. It's wood, but it can't reproduce itself. But if we were to take the seed, does anyone know what kind of wood this is? Okay, it's pine wood. So this is a pine tree. But if we were to take the pine tree seed, it's the same thing, but that seed has the ability to reproduce itself. This is what the Lord says we are. Within each one of us is the ability to reproduce ourselves. Many times, 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. Repeat after me, Lord Jesus, do this in my lifetime. Thank you for making me a seed of life. Lord Jesus! Oh, you just caught the Lord's attention. You know, the Lord hears millions of prayers every day. They're mostly just religious prayers, Santa Claus prayers. But when he hears prayers like this, Lord, thank you for making me a seed of life. Reproduce me 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. I'm going to answer that prayer. Because that's my desire. This glorifies my Father. I need the earth to be filled with light. Then I can come back, not in a miraculous way, but in a very normal, organic way. Okay, point two. A seed is scattered according to the wisdom and desire of the sower. I like this verse, John 15, 16. Listen to this. Another verse is about to get into you. You, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Lord, is that the reason why I chose you? Is that the reason why I'm at this conference? It wasn't just my decision, but even before I chose you, you chose me. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I set you that you would go forth and bear fruit. All right. Can we have a young person tell me what it means to bear fruit? Oh, yes. Кто-то здесь может сказать, что значит приносить плод? Very good. To save, help people get saved. All right. See, otherwise, I speak the verse to you, but you don't know what it means to bear fruit. Just two nice words, bear fruit. Help people get saved. Way to go, Sister Julia. We're so happy she's here with us. She came to our YP outing last year in Israel. She's never been to a conference before. And now she's right here. You enjoying it? You love it?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. We're so glad your friend invited you. What's her name? Masha? Yeah. Masha invited her. That's great. You're glad too. Amen. Bearing fruit. Amen. Okay. Where are we? All right. Point three, a seed is able to bring forth much fruit. Much fruit. Fruit is like children. The fruit of your womb, the children. Your children. Being a gospel seed on our school campuses does not imply some activity. Rather, it implies a kind of person. Joseph. Jesus. A kind of living. All right. We got to move on. Roman numeral 4. All right, this is the fourth thing that the Lord says we are. We are branches in the vine. Now I want to read to you John 15:5. All right, you guys want to get another verse into you?
Yes.
The Lord's going to start speaking to you. All right, repeat after me. I am the vine.
I am the vine.
You are the branches.
You are the branches.
He who abides in me. All right, wait, do you know what the word abides mean? Abides means? What does it mean to abide? Yes, he got it. To live or dwell somewhere. That's where I live. All right, so here's what Jesus is saying to us. He who abides in me.
He who abides in me.
And I in him.
And I in him.
He bears much fruit.
He bears much fruit.
And what does it mean to bear fruit?
Amen,
my brother. Hallelujah. In the garden, growing in his grace. Amen. All right, point A. We were wild branches, and through faith, we have been grafted into Christ. All right, what does it mean to be grafted? All right, to be grafted is if you have like one tree, and then the farmer comes along, and he cuts a spot in that tree. And then he goes to another tree, which is like a bad tree, a wild tree, and he cuts off that branch. And so now on this branch, you have a cut, and then this branch also have a cut, and he puts them together. Now, this wild branch has been grafted in. That's what happened. Christ is the tree of life, and we got grafted into him. You know, he's not like a big, tall, I don't think the tree of life was a big, tall pine tree. If that were the case, only the squirrels could eat of him. He wants us to eat of him. So he is like a vine tree. And that's what he said. I am the vine tree. Anyone can get the vine. It's right there. You can just lay on the ground. The vine, unless somebody lifts it up, it's on the ground. So available to eat. And he grafted us in as branches into the vine tree. The brothers are happy about this. Amen. All right. We were wild branches, and through faith, does everyone here believe in Christ?
Yes.
Can you say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you?
Lord Jesus, I believe in you.
По-украински. I mean, по-русски. Amen. En español. Amen. Francés. Oh, it's a great thing to believe, to have faith. Through faith, we have been grafted into Christ.
Amen.
Amen. He set us that we should go forth and bear fruit. So why did he graft us into himself? So that we could now bear fruit. His life juice, which is the life-giving spirit, is flowing into us, and now we can just bear fruit. Fruit on all the branches. We are one of the branches of the tree of life.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, point B. To ask in the Lord's name requires us to abide in the Lord. What does it mean to abide? To live in. Good. And allow him and his words to abide in us. That's what's happening. His words are getting into you right now, and you just need to let them abide in you.
Amen.
Think about them, remember them. This kind of asking is related to fruit bearing. Say, Lord Jesus, help me bear fruit. Lord, send me someone that will believe into you, that will also get grafted into you this year at my school. And this prayer will surely be answered by the Father. How many more minutes do I have? I forget. Okay, amen. All right, amen. Point five. The way to have such a living before men, our teachers, fellow students, parents, and siblings, is to have a hidden life of eating and enjoying Christ. Never forget this. This is the hidden secret. Hidden life of eating and enjoying Christ personally and pursuing Christ with our companions. You know, as we were singing the song tonight, I was just imagining Joseph in prison. Look at this. Reigning in life, being ruled by the Spirit, restricted and limited. This is Joseph. A time of confinement. Where was he? In jail, in prison. A time of confinement to seek the experience in being alone with our Lord today.
Amen.
As we were singing the song tonight, I was just imagining how many years Joseph was in prison. But those were not wasted years. Secretly, he was enjoying the Lord. Secretly, he was having conversations with the Lord. Okay, this is our hidden secret. We have a hidden life of eating and enjoying Christ. Point A, even the young Timothy was charged by Paul to be a pattern to the believers in word, in conduct, and in purity. So that means all of you. Timothy was a young person when Paul met him. All of you are also young people. You can be a pattern to the believers in word, the way you speak, in conduct, that's your behavior, and in purity. It's wonderful. Point B, the way to have this kind of influence is not by our human effort, no sweating, to improve ourselves, but by our turning to the Lord and enjoying him. Okay, I want to read these two verses, Matthew 6:6. All right. I hope all of you guys eventually will walk around with little New Testaments. I always have one. Oh, look at that. If you guys memorize verses, some of you are going to get one of these like right here. Yes. I always keep two of these right there in my little bag there. Okay, so Matthew 6:6. But you, when you pray, enter into your private room and shut your door and pray to your Father who is in secret. It's a small thing. No one will ever know about it. But when you're at school, you pray. You just say something to the Lord. Tell him whatever, right? You can tell him anything. I want to ask and see, could you raise your hand if you prayed at school? Okay, you can do it. That's great. Oh, now I'm really encouraged. Amen. So look, we have young people. They're at school, and they've prayed when you're walking in between classes. Yeah? That's great. Amen. It's wonderful. This is it. And then John 6:57 says, this is a good one to memorize. As the living Father has sent me.
As the living Father has sent me.
And who's speaking? This is Jesus. And I live because of the Father.
And I live because of the Father.
He just shared with us the secret of how he lives. Now he says, so also,
he who eats me,
he also shall live because of me. Oh, he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. Boy, you guys are exercising your spirit. All right, so every time we pray, we're eating the Lord. Every time we take a little verse, we're eating the Lord. That's why you need to have this with you. when you go to the bathroom at school, whenever, when you're on the bus going to school, just eat a little verse and you will live. This is the same way the Lord lived. Okay, then point C, we can flee youthful lust by pursuing the Lord with our companions in the church life and by calling on the Lord. Amen. Okay, I have a, I'd like to give you a little challenge. I'd like to tell you what I would like you to try. Try calling on the name of the Lord sometime in the near future, after the conference, or even during the conference. But anyways, by yourself, 5 times. And then a few days later, try doing it 10 times. Eventually, just try. Say, Lord, today I want to call on your name at least once every hour. That's a good day. Lord, every hour, don't let an hour go by without me calling on the Lord. All right, I'm going to teach you a song. There's a brother named Dick Taylor, and when I was in the full-time training, he came into class one day. He says, okay, I want to teach you a new song that I just kind of, I want to teach you a new song. And this is the way it goes. Enter into the enjoyment, experience the Lord. He's the rich supply. Don't let a moment go by without calling on the Lord. All right, let's put hour in there. Enter into the enjoyment, experience the Lord. He's a rich supply. Don't let an hour go by without calling on the Lord. Lord Jesus, we want this. Amen. We don't just want a nice little song, Amen. But we want to call on your name Amen. Every hour of the day. Amen. It's great. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Yes, it's your. These are your spiritual lungs. You're breathing, breathing. You know, I believed in the Lord genuinely when I was younger, but I remember I only started to call on the Lord when I think I was like 16 or 17. And I felt like the baby, you know, the baby has been born, but it's not breathing. And then all of a sudden, my spiritual mama, whoever was the nurse, she just spanked my bottom. Oh, I started crying and I started breathing. Oh, Lord Jesus, I hope you, Lord Jesus, I hope you got a nice spanking in this conference. And now you're breathing. And you, amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Welcome to a new stage of your Christian life. Little sister, there's Jasper, there's Pearl, and there's, Crystal. I love those precious stones of this family. Little sister Crystal, I hope Pearl, right, okay, good. Little sister Pearl, I hope after this conference, you're just going to be breathing, calling on the name of the Lord. When you go back to India, India needs callers. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, and companions. We got to have companions. We got to have companions. Today is great. You don't even have to live with them. You can call them by phone. You can stay in touch with them. It really makes a difference. 5 minutes in the morning, read a chapter of the word, call on the Lord, go to school. Amen. All right, point six, God's ordination for us, which becomes our law of existence and blessing, is the meetings. As water is to the fish and air to the birds, so are the meetings to the Christians. Do fish like to be in the air? They want to get down into the water where they can breathe. Sometimes birds go into the water to get a fish, but do they like staying down there?
No.
They want to get out of the water and get back to the
air
so they can
breathe.
That's what the meetings are. Hallelujah. Every kind of life has its own characteristic. One of the many characteristics of our spiritual life is to flock together, to meet together. The church life will be carried out practically in the group meeting. The most important thing today is to have our own group meeting, which can be considered as our own assembly. If the Lord leads you, pray and just do it. Let me lead you. Don't wait for the Lord to lead you. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to be in a meeting every week.
From now until next July.
Sound good? In a meeting every week. Every hour doing what? Amen. Every day, every morning doing what when you wake up? Calling on the Lord. You can also pray. Keep your little pocket New Testament. Don't use your phone for it. A little pocket New Testament. Read verses throughout the day. And once every week, a meeting. Go to a meeting. Yes. All right, last point. The big meetings cannot keep the new ones. So you're going to start bearing fruit. You're going to start helping people get saved. But the meetings from house to house, that's the best place to bring them. Bring the people into the foundation of the church. Once a person joined the home meetings, he was kept. Amen. All right. And then next year in Poland, we're going to have a lot more young people here with us. Amen. Just like Julie. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, that was our special fellowship meeting. Amen.